House Democrats shot down a GOP motion earlier this month that sought to bar corporate cooperation with Chinese slave labor. The motion to recommit, proposed by Kentucky Republican Representative Andy Barr, amending a Democrat bill on corporate disclosure, would have required businesses to report to the Treasury Department if they discover a supplier or other business partner was found using forced labor. 217 Democrats rejected the measure, and the amendment failed. A look at their corporate donors might reveal why. In March of last year, the Australian Strategic Policy Institute, ASPI, published a report credibly accusing 82 major brands of profiteering, either directly or indirectly, from Chinese slave labor by minority Uyghur workers from the northern Xinjiang province. According to the report, investigators estimate more than 800,000 Uyghurs were taken from their native provinces to work in factories across China between 2017 and 2019, with thousands more sent straight to concentration camps. Using open-source Chinese language documents, satellite imagery, academic research, and on-the-ground reporting, ASPI linked 82 brands with forced labor operations among 27 factories across 9 Chinese provinces. Let me read that again, ladies and gentlemen. Using open-source Chinese language documents, satellite imagery, academic research, and on-the-ground reporting, ASPI linked 82 brands with forced labor operations among 27 factories across 9 Chinese provinces. A Federalist analysis drawing on financial disclosure reports published in Open Secrets found at least 44 of the 80 companies named made U.S. campaign contributions in last year's election cycle. Money talks and everything else walks. A vast majority went to Democrats, who raked in 3/4 of all federal donations from companies credibly accused of harnessing Chinese slave labor, while less than 12% flowed to Republicans. Of the nearly $40 million that went to congressional candidates between the two major parties, Democrats took home more than 85%, as opposed to Republicans, who received less than 15%. Meanwhile, 39 out of the 42 companies that made donations gave more than half to Democrats, with nearly a dozen skyrocketing contributions in last fall's contest compared to previous cycles. Apple and Nike, for example, which deployed high-powered Washington lobbyists to fight Uyghur Forced Labor Prevention Act, barring importing products from Chinese slave labor, each spiked their donations to Democrats by more than 400%, in a year Republicans embraced a tough stance on China. So Apple and Nike deployed high-powered Washington lobbyists to fight the Uyghur Forced Labor Prevention Act. Do you guys know what forced labor is? Now, I realize there are some who might have difficulty, not in this audience, but others for sure, that might have difficulty figuring out what forced labor means. When labor is forced, it means they make somebody do a job that they don't otherwise want to do. So and pretty much all the time, it would employ taking away all of their rights and making them a prisoner of the entity that is forcing them to do this labor. Now, historically, I don't want to get too deep in the weeds here, because I realize for a segment of the population, this might be kind of difficult to understand, but that historically has been known as slavery. Do slaves' lives matter? Do Uyghur lives matter? And oh, by the way, do Christian black lives matter? We'll be getting to that in a little bit. The chart from Open Secrets below outlines Apple's contributions to federal candidates, showing the company's affiliates gave upwards of $7.5 million to Democrats in 2020, as opposed to less than $2 million in 2018. Nike's contributions graph shown below. By the way, this is linked up at cgm.news. Again, from Open Secrets, shows the company's affiliates gave more than $1.2 million to Democrats in 2020, a jump from less than $300,000 in 2018. So it went from $300,000 in donations, Nike's contributions, to candidates in 2018, up to $1.2 million. The company also plummeted in contributions to Republicans at the same time, giving nearly $700,000 to Republicans 3 years ago and giving less than $150,000 to GOP candidates in 2020, a more than 350% decrease. So in 2018, $300,000 to Democrats. In 2020, $1.2 million. In 2018, $700,000 to Republicans 3 years ago in 2017, I guess, and $150,000 in 2020. Nike, headquartered in Oregon, has shown particular loyalty to the Chinese Communist Party to retain access to its lucrative Chinese markets. Just last week, the company's chief executive officer, John Donahoe, declared Nike a brand that is of China and for China. Do you know who else is of China and for China? Yes, it is the America-hating, cop-hating Colin Kaepernick, who has received millions of dollars from Nike, but is amazingly and curiously silent when it comes to the atrocities of the Chinese Communist Party against people he would otherwise claim to care about, which are Muslims. Money talks, and everything else walks. If you are a Nike spokesperson and you claim to be a social justice warrior, but you turn a blind eye to the atrocities committed in the name of supplying Nike with its goods to sell to the world, you are a fraud, and you're a fraud of the highest order. You're despicable, you're diabolical, you're pure evil, you are the hypocrite of hypocrites. And look, I'm far from perfect, and I'm not going to claim to be anything such. I'm merely talking about those public figures that go on television and they wag their fingers about how evil and terrible America is when we do not have slavery. We do not have forced labor. We actually have basic freedoms and individual rights, and we've made unbelievable progress. Yet at the same time, ignoring a country that is celebrating its 100th anniversary. When I say country, I don't mean the beautiful country of China. I mean the Chinese Communist Party celebrating its 100th anniversary, a totalitarian regime that unleashed COVID onto the world in order to take down a sitting president that was its greatest thorn in its side. That's who we're talking about here. And we're going to ignore all, you're going to bash America because of supposedly how evil and racist it is, when you literally have people in China being millions of people, millions of Muslims, not to mention all of the persecution of Christians and other religious people in China, the Falun Gong and others in China facing incredible persecution, taking away the freedom and individual rights of Hong Kong and Taiwan and Tibet, the Tiananmen Square massacre of 1989 when hundreds and hundreds of students just brutally murdered for protesting. But yet, we're going to wag our finger at America for our supposed and unproven plague of systemic racism. Even if that were true, which would be truly unbelievably horrible, it would not compare or even come close to the atrocities of the Chinese Communist Party. And yet all of these athletes and these entertainers who buddy up with Nike and Apple and all these big companies that get use forced labor, that their products are the result of forced labor, otherwise known as slavery, okay? It's slavery. They turned a blind eye to it. Not only them, but the Democrat Party, and it would appear even a small minority of Republicans as well. And anybody that's turning a blind eye to the forced labor, to slavery because of money, I don't care what political party you are of, you have something to answer to. You have something to give an account for, because it is despicable on a level we can't even begin to imagine. And it's not as if, look, as if forced labor, slavery is bad enough, when you get into the idea that they are harvesting these people's organs and selling them and distributing them, it's an evil on a level that normal people and even probably fairly evil people cannot comprehend. And we're going to turn a blind eye to that. We're going to be more upset at the manager of the Houston Rockets for saying that Hong Kong should be free than we are going to be upset at the National Basketball Association and other major corporations that are completely ingratiated with this terrible, murderous, genocidal regime. We know what this is about. It's about power. It's about money. It's about control. What is this new Delta COVID variant about? Power, money, control. That's what it's about. They, once again, Fauci and the CDC, they want to force everybody to get vaccinated, profiting these huge corporations. Hey, let's make some more COVID billionaires while we're at it. They want to completely force us into vaccination. They want to force us into lockdowns. They want to force us back into masks. We're seeing it all over again. And Fauci's going on air fear-mongering about all of it. Resist, 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 resist. One thing that I have begun praying is that the Lord would remove Fauci from his position. Not to hurt him, not to hurt him physically, not to hurt him mentally, not to hurt him in any way. I'm not asking for that at all. When I say remove him from his position of power, that's exactly what I mean. Simply remove him from his position of power. Humble him. And humility simply means to bring low. He's very high right now. He's on cloud nine again. He loves this. He appears at least to love this stuff. He loves the, once again, he's important. Once again, he's in the limelight. Once again, every news show wants him to be on talking and sharing his unbounded wisdom and scientific knowledge. Remember, an attack on him, this is his own words, an attack on him is an attack on science because he's following the science. I'm sorry. If there was ever someone or something that would be considered an American idol, it is Dr. Fauci. He is an idol that needs to come down. He's an idol that needs to be shattered. Not, you have to be real careful these days, real careful. I'm not saying literally, figuratively, he's an idol that needs to be shattered, needs to come down. And we, the people, have to rise up and say, we are not doing the masks. We are not doing the lockdowns. We are not going to be forced to get this COVID shot that's resulting in the deaths of men, women, children, resulting in injuries. No. People that are just dying from this thing. Kids that are having this myocarditis and this heart inflammation. And look, I'm sorry, there's too many deaths, too many injuries. And you've got companies that are bringing, or you've got countries that are saying, bringing it off market and put it back on market, off market. This is an experimental shot. It is not FDA approved. It's only approved for emergency use authorization. It is not fully approved. You have the inventor. You have the inventor of the mRNA vaccine himself. That technology saying, don't get the shot. And he's had the shot. look, there's plenty of science and scientific studies and all this to back this up, and I'm posting it at cgm.news as it becomes available. But we cannot allow them to use what they're trying to use to bring us all the way back to March of 2020. We cannot, we will not, and I don't think they will. I think we've learned our lessons. We know that the lockdowns don't work. We know that the mask mandates don't work. We have our governors, such as in Florida, here in Texas, and elsewhere, they have better data to be able to combat this stuff. And plus, with elections rolling around, even in California, for the most part, completely opened up. And Gavin Newsom is going to be remiss to go back to full lockdown because he's facing a recall election in, what, November? So, and that recall is happening in the first place because of his draconian lockdowns. So even he is restrained. And that's science, by the way. Don't lock down because I have to win an election. That's science. Again, showing you, it's all about power. If he really believed that the mask mandates and the lockdowns and all those things were necessary, he would try to implement them, but he's not. Why? Because he has an election. And also, we know that he doesn't actually believe what he says he believes because he's been caught in a restaurant, not socially distanced, without a mask, when those orders were in place by his own dictates. So, he's obviously not very worried about it. Anyway, but either way, he's not going to do it, at least not much, because he's got to win an election. And that, of course, is science. All that to say, the Uyghur Forced Labor Act never received a vote in the upper chamber. Florida Republican Senator Marco Rubio introduced the bill in the Senate earlier this year. This is from a fantastic article. Is the entire Democratic Party compromised by China? And this idea that the Uyghur Forced Labor Prevention Act would not make it through Congress is truly a telltale sign. As we look through our history and we look at recent history, it's very important to understand that you and I are experiencing something we've never really experienced in American history before, most likely. And that is it's a psychological operation. It's a psyop. And I've talked about this many times, and I'm going to continue to talk about it because it's very important that we remind ourselves of what we're in and what we're dealing with. It was for this era that the book 1984 was actually written. When you are forced to believe things that are not true, and you're constantly put forward and forced information that is false, but you're commanded to believe it. And if you don't believe it, you're the worst thing that ever slivered its way out of the soupy sea. If you don't, you're a racist and you're sexist, you're big, you're homie, whatever. It's what you call gaslighting. It's telling somebody something that is knowingly untrue, but acting like it's completely true. For example, men can give birth and have periods. They know, guys, it's ludicrous. It's ridiculous. How can they say that? This is insane. Man, these people are, no, they're not idiots. They're not idiots. They're revolutionaries. They're revolutionaries. They know that men can't give birth. They know that men can't breastfeed. They know that chest feeding is ludicrous. They are trying to break you. Don't let them. Know them. Be a step ahead of them, of their own game. Don't believe the lies. They know it is ludicrous that a male is about to win the gold medal for women's weightlifting in the Olympics. They know that is ludicrous. When boys are knocking girls out of first and second and third place, and women are just hurting opportunities for women and taking them away from them so that these males can excel and have the scholarships and the accolades and all of this, they know. They know that it's ludicrous. I'm not talking about the followers. I'm talking about the elites. They know that Kamala Harris and Amy Klobuchar and other experts have said that these Dominion voting machines are hackable. And we have video proof, and we've played video proof of that here on this broadcast, while at the same time saying there's no possible way. Now in 2020, 2021, there's no possible way that there was any possible widespread election fraud or any election-changing election fraud. And if you do think that, if you do believe that Biden is an illegitimate president, we will censor you. We will take away your social media accounts. We will demonetize you. We will get rid of your Facebook group. We will assassinate you digitally, just like they did with President Donald J. Trump, the true president of the United States. He is the president. He should be. He's not acting as the president, but he is the legitimate, rightful president. Look, when they shut counting down in six states at 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, unprecedented in American history. And, oh, we're going to, you know, we're going to open back up again at 8 in the morning. And then we have video proof of them working through the night. And then you look at all of the voting data and you see these vote dumps of hundreds of thousands for Biden when Biden was losing in all those states. And suddenly the next day, Biden's winning the presidency. And you're going to sit there? Oh, and while they're kicking out poll watchers, kicking out Republican poll watchers, boarding up windows. I mean, but they sit there and they gaslight you. They say that, no, don't believe your lying eyes. Don't believe your lying eyes. There's no way. Chris Krebs, this was the most secure election in history. They spent 2020 calling for a defunding of the police. And now they're saying Republicans are the ones. We didn't call for defunding of the police. The Republicans are the ones. Don't let that get you worked up. Sure, let it drive you to action for anything you may be able to do about it. But don't let them break your will. Don't let them break your mind. That is what they want. That's what all of this contradictory, all of this insane, contradictory mess that they put forward to us on a day after day after day basis is designed to do. This is a communist revolution. That's what H.R. 1, SB 1. If I was going to non-pejoratively, not making fun of it, give H.R. 1 an SB 1, the most precise, technically accurate name that I could give it, it would be For the Communist Revolution Act. And I'm not even joking. That's not a sideswipe at it. That's not an insult at it. That is what it is, because it is designed to allow the Democrats to cheat their way through every other election for the rest of history and to remain the uniparty, the one party in power forever, because they know. I mean, that's why they have to import millions of people from Latin America, because they know with the population of America right now, they ain't winning, because communism and socialism sucks. Socialism sucks. Okay? This is simple. That's why they had to bring those Dominion voting machines into Venezuela back in the early 2000s. And suddenly, we have dictatorship. And they'll call you crazy. They'll call you insane. They'll call you all these things. Don't let them break you. Don't let them break you. You know, they will say we are anti-slavery, while at the same time protecting corporate interests that fund them, because those corporate interests and the funding that they get are directly tied to forced labor, to slavery out of China. They'll gaslight us that way. They'll say, you're pro-slavery, while they're the ones that are benefiting directly, monetarily, financially from slavery. There's so many things like that. And it's easy to allow, it's easy to get bogged down about all that. But just know there are incredible forces of work, of good that are happening. It is amazing. I am a Christian. I am a Jesus-following, Bible-believing Christian. But it is interesting. You know, when you look at a saga like Star Wars, which is really based off, most part off of, I believe it was, Buddhist thought. That's from George Lucas's own mouth. He calls himself a Buddhist Methodist, but it's kind of based off of Buddhist thought. You have this idea of the light and the dark, the balance, right? Light rises up, dark rises up. Dark rises up, light rises up. Obama rises up, Trump rises up. AOC rises up, MTG rises up, and boy, does she rise up. I just absolutely love Marjorie Taylor Green. And you look in Georgia, right? I mean, boy, the devil went down to Georgia, right? Boy, did he big time in 2020. And you've got the deals with undisclosed deals, with backdoor deals with Brian Kemp and Stacey Abrams. And he's obviously letting her just push him around. He's either afraid of her or simply on board with her agenda. But then you have that side of darkness, but then you have light. You have light, and boy, if there's a few politicians, I'm up and comers that I'm excited about. If there's one dude, that I'm excited about, it is none other than the absolute great, the phenomenon, the rock star of Georgia, and his name is Vernon Jones. Not long ago, Vernon Jones was a Democrat, and it was the Democrat Party that shifted him over to the Republican Party, but he didn't just come over to the Republican Party and hang out with the boys at National Review and the American Conservative. This guy became a hardcore MAGA Trump supporter and one of the biggest voices after the election was officially stolen. Biggest voices for voter integrity and fighting back against the ilk that is Brian Kemp and Stacey Abrams and the rest of the Republican garbage establishment in Georgia not standing up for voter integrity, allowing Biden to steal the election by something like 11,000 votes, 12,000 votes. And he is not scared. He is going full bore. This is the good news that we have to pay attention to, that we have to watch and see. There are forces at work. Yes, great darkness has risen up through the Biden administration. But then you see things like the Arizona audit, and it looks like those audits are going to spread, that they're not going to be able to stop it. I don't think they're going to be able to stop it. Now, maybe they will. It's always possible that the feds could just come in and illegally and shut everything down. And so we all need to be mentally and emotionally prepared for the fact that this is going to be a tit for tat. Good stuff's going to happen, bad stuff's going to happen. Good stuff's going to happen, bad stuff's going to happen. This is a war. This is a civil war. There's no other way to describe this. When you have the Attorney General Merrick Garland that has come in and said that they want to come and mess with the Arizona audit, they have no constitutional right to do so. That's civil war. And that's when I love Wendy Rogers, who came out and said that, Attorney General Garland, you will spend time in an Arizona prison if you touch our ballots, Attorney General of the United States. Don't mess with those homeschool moms. they can get vicious. She is just phenomenal. I'm just like, who is this lady? What? There are people like this. Yes, there are people like that. There's so much good. So why am I so excited about Vernon Jones? Well, I saw this today at the Gateway Pundit, and you have to give props to the Gateway Pundit for their just incredible, relentless, indefatigable reporting on election fraud. I mean, really, they were just, I saw early on, you know, I had, you know, visited, frequented the Gateway Pundit often, but after the big steal and how just solid the Gateway Pundit was on exposing the steal, I'm like, you know, you just see people in a new way, either for good or for bad, after terrible things happen. And they of course, did some of the best reporting out there on that. But CNN's about controlling Negroes. That's what it stands for. Controlling Negroes. Vernon Jones destroys CNN reporter. Republican candidate for Georgia governor Vernon Jones absolutely destroyed a CNN reporter when the reporter went after President Trump's attorney, Rudy Giuliani. This was so honest and absolutely devastating for the reporter and CNN, i.e. controlling Negroes. You see what Vernon Jones just pulled a Trump there. That is powerful. That is going to stay with CNN. That is going to live with CNN. And Republican after Republican after are going to take that and pound away at CNN. I mean, their ratings are already just in the tank, down something like 75%. Nobody is watching CNN anymore, and they deserve every single bit of it. Yes, I want them humbled. Look, we all need humility in our lives, and that is something that I strive for every day. Right, the scripture says, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but think as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each of us a measure of faith. God opposes the proud, and he gives grace to the humble. So this is something all of us. I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I am some great beacon of humility, even if I was, which I'm not, but even if I was, if I were to say so, I no longer would be. That would be pride talking, of course, but You get the idea. It is time for these lying news stations, these lying pro-CCP propaganda media to come down. They are the enemy of the people. Not just fake news, but news that is designed to prop up our adversaries, such as China, and take down their own country. America, you are essentially a foreign agent at that point. But I digress. This is what Jones said to the CNN reporter. I'll ask you, was the drop-off boxes used in 2020 elections? Was it? Was it used in the 2020 election? Now be as bold as you were bold asking Giuliani a question. I'm asking you now, were the drop-off boxes used? Let's put the camera on it. Let's put the camera on him. Puts his arm around the reporter. Now, was the drop-off boxes used? What I love about Vernon Jones is he's not polished grammatically. He speaks the vernacular of black people in Georgia, and I love it. And that's just how he naturally speaks. And he's going to relate to the black population in Georgia in a big way come next year when he beats Brian Kemp in the Georgia runoff, and he eventually beats Stacey Abrams for governor. I believe, unless of course they steal it. That's always possible. Who or what press are you with? He's with CNN. Were the drop-off boxes that were used in our election? This gentleman is with CNN. He's with CNN. What's your name? This is Mr. Sayers. Were the drop-off boxes used in the 2020 election and the 2021 runoff? Were those drop-off boxes written into the state statute? Are you open to looking to see if they were? Mumbling from the reporter. No, I'm just asking you a question. You've asked me questions already. Was it? Are you going to look into it? I just want, here's CNN. Because CNN is about controlling Negroes. That's what it stands for. Controlling Negroes. That's what CNN is about. They don't want people of color to have certain thoughts. He's here to keep me running and to keep me from being the governor of the state. Why? Because liberals, they do not want blacks to think for themselves. They're here for Stacey Abrams. You know, and I know that the drop-off boxes were not in the state statutes. You know, and I know that the eNet signature verification was not in the state statute. You don't want me on your show no more because you know Joe Biden is a bigot, and you don't want me calling Joe Biden a bigot. CNN is bigot. They're race-based. They use you to carry out their racist agenda, and it's sad. End quote. The reporter will never be the same. Why don't Christian Black Lives Matter? All throughout sub-Saharan Africa, in Nigeria, Mozambique, the Central African Republic, Mali, the Democratic Republic of Congo, Muslims are terrorizing and slaughtering Christians, and have been for many years now. Okay, I have a confession to make. I don't watch much TV. Currently, the only show that I watch right now is The Chosen. And by the way, here on the CGM Radio Network, on Faith, Reason, Culture, just go to cgmradio.com, click on Faith, Reason, Culture, subscribe. Why are you going to want to subscribe? And it is because Faith, Reason, Culture, and I'm the host, one of the hosts of that show, we are doing a series, a play-by-play, full-on nerd-out review of The Chosen. If you're not familiar with The Chosen, you need to be. Look it up. It is the best TV show in history, in my opinion. And it's a multi-season TV show about the life of Jesus. I can't recommend it more. Go to thechosen.tv. There's an app where you can watch all the episodes for free. It is high quality, incredible writing, incredible acting. I can't recommend it enough. And I can't recommend enough you listening to our analysis of the show, which has been just a lot of fun. And a lot of ways, perhaps a bit more fun than reporting on the stuff that I report on here. So why does this trigger the talk of television and what television I like to watch? Well, I saw, I don't even remember how I saw this. I saw that there was a new show about Superman. Now, out of all of the fictional stories that are out there, Superman is, overall, I believe, my favorite. And I believe because in some, kind of like Lord of the Rings, or maybe it's on par with Lord of the Rings, or maybe, okay, yeah, so Superman's going to be second to Lord of the Rings, because Lord of the Rings will always be number one. But in terms of, let's say, the superhero genre, at least, Superman has always been tops. I love the backstory. I love this being of unimaginable power ending up in Smallville, Kansas, a made-up city for the DC comic universe, and learning who he is and growing up into becoming this great savior figure of the world, or at least of Metropolis. He kind of sticks around that area. But then he'll also fly around the world, too, and save people because he's got this super selective hearing, at least in the show. Well, the CW, which pretty much everything else on there kind of looks like trash, but had this show, and I'm like, you know what? Okay. I can't resist, right? It's called Superman and Lois. And I began to watch it, and I began to get hooked on it for a couple of reasons. Number one, I really liked the guy who plays Superman. I think he did a fantastic job. Tyler Hoechlin, H-O-E-C-H-L-I-N. I'm not sure how to say his last name. Great acting. Great dad. So as Superman and Lois, they're married. They're back in Smallville, Kansas. They've got two teenage boys that are freshmen in high school. And it's a very different, it's a unique take on the Superman story, while at the same time staying with the spirit of the original Superman, which I really appreciated and love and have always loved. And so the most recent episode starts off with a flashback. A lot of the episode, maybe a third of the episode. This is episode, I believe, 11 of season one. Starts with a flashback. And in the flashback, you know, Superman and Lois are in Metropolis. He's learning from her to becoming a reporter. He's shadowing her and all of this. And sure enough, Superman finally goes woke. You see, for the first 10 episodes, Superman hadn't gone woke. And I was relatively pleased. I was relatively surprised that this day and age, in 2021, there could be any kind of show on the CW or any other major network that weren't going woke. And I'm like, okay. Look, I had no delusion about the idea that any second now, a flip could be switched and it goes woke. I knew that was always possible. So in my mind, I'm like, okay, I'm really enjoying the show. Pretty good writing, pretty good acting. It's Superman. What the heck? Besides The Chosen, I'll watch Superman. That'll be like my show once a week. I watch just for fun. And my wife and I are watching it together and everything. She was enjoying it, which it's not always easy for us to, you know, find stuff maybe we both like to watch, considering I really just, there's not much television I kind of ever am interested in watching, especially these days. And so we get to episode 11. There's this flashback. It's Superman and Lois together. And sure enough, there's this white supremacist suddenly that is terrorizing downtown Metropolis. And who is he terrorizing? Of course, he's terrorizing Muslims. That's everybody. Everybody in downtown Metropolis, he's terrorizing all these Muslims. And it paints the idea that the injustices in the world are as a result of white men specifically. And again, this goes in line with what we talked about last week about white supremacists supposedly being the greatest domestic terror threat, according to the Biden administration. And now you have Superman and Lois to back that up. And who are they targeting? Well, of course, they're targeting Muslims. Because Muslims are, without a doubt, the most oppressed group in the world, right? And white people are the most oppressive group in the world. But not only that, but I believe it was where the they found the guy who was responsible or connected to the maniacal murderer was at a hardware store. And you know the name of the hardware store? The name of the hardware store was USA First Hardware. Of course, they didn't do America First, but they did as close as they could without, while letting everybody know, while having kind of plausible deniability, USA First. And what it showed me was something that really I already knew and was in the back of my mind the whole time I was watching the first 10 episodes of this TV show, is they hate us. If you are a Trump supporter, if you believe in the MAGA agenda, if you believe the election was stolen, if you believe that the Wuhan virus was unleashed onto the world by the Chinese Communist Party very strategically, for a very specific reason, then you are essentially that guy in a metal mask that's terrorizing Muslims and wanting to see them, what he said, I believe he said in it that you all have taken over our neighborhoods and, all this stuff that they want white supremacists to say, they want white supremacists to do, they love real white supremacists because it furthers their agenda. So I saw it. It came a little earlier than I expected. I thought, maybe season two, season three, they'll start introducing some of that stuff. But there it was. There it was. In their mind, that's what happens. White people terrorize Muslims. Muslims don't terrorize white people. You see, the insane amount of murders, of terrorist attacks from Muslims on white people in Europe does not matter to them. You understand that, right? That shouldn't even be discussed. That doesn't come into the equation. When you have actual terror coming from Muslims, it doesn't matter the Muslim's color, the Muslim can be white, brown, black, whatever, terrorizing the European population, or that you had 19 Muslims that killed over 3,000 people here in America, or the fact that Muslims have it so good here in America, they actually have to invent these hate crimes, these fake hate crimes. It shows you what it's all about. It shows you their mentality. It shows you, it really is, again, a kind of another form of gaslighting. No. Muslims aren't the problem. Islam is not the problem. Don't believe your lying eyes. Don't believe these reports that come out of even left-wing publications about these Islamic attacks in Europe. No. The big problem are those white supremacists terrorizing Muslims here in the U.S. All throughout sub-Saharan Africa, in Nigeria, Mozambique, the Central African Republic, Mali, the Democratic Republic of Congo, Muslims are terrorizing and slaughtering Christians and have been for many years now. This is from frontpagemag.com. So it's not just whites in Europe. It's blacks all throughout Africa. It's browns, brown people throughout the Middle East. Nor is there any hope on the horizon, for problems that cannot be correctly and objectively addressed are doomed to persist in perpetuity. As far as the Western mainstream is concerned, all such persecution and terrorism is a byproduct of economic grievances, or, in the words of April 16, 2021 report titled, quote, "How Poverty and Corruption Fuel Terrorism Across Africa." So remember, it's any terrorism, it's just simply a byproduct of economic grievances. If you just fix them monetarily, then they'll be fine. I know the country, they're all destroy America. They want to destroy Israel. That's what they say. But no. If we just pump billions more dollars into Iran, they'll suddenly become partners of peace and we'll have peace and security all throughout the Middle East and the world. We just got to give them more money. It's lunacy. On March 24th, a group of jihadis struck the town of Palma in Mozambique, killing dozens and burning government buildings to the ground. ISIS claimed responsibility for the attack, but doubts have been cast over who was behind the siege. The remainder of the report argues that such attacks, which are, quote, on the rise across the African continent, are a, quote, consequence of poverty, domestic grievances, new and old, and Africa's resource curse, which paradoxically impoverishes people living on land, which is rich in natural resources. So guys, remember when the Obama administration came in and they purged all Islamic references from like FBI and CIA resources? It's all connected together. They absolutely must disconnect Islamic ideology from Islamic action because it doesn't fit the narrative. And if you ultimately want, say, something like Islam, or at least communism and socialism to start to take over the West, you have to basically claim that this is a oppressed minority and a kind of a permanent grievance class, and then you can basically excuse all of their behavior and deflect attention away from the fact that it's their own materials, such as the Quran, that is fueling this. This has been the mainstream media's argument, and they're sticking to it, no matter all the mountains of contradictory evidence. Remember, it is the white supremacists attacking the Muslims. That's the only thing that happens. That is what they want you to have in mind. And I began to listen to an interview with Robert Spencer, who's written many books. He has the site Jihad Watch. And what he said actually on the interview recently, and I'm going to have to go in and verify this, was that the term Islamophobia was actually strategically invented by political Islamists themselves in order to silence criticism of Islam. It was actually a brilliant move. The left-wing politicians, the left-wing media jumped right on in And here we are. And even a lot of the right-wing media is very afraid to talk about Islam. So you never know, but it makes perfect sense. And Robert Spencer, I definitely trust his scholarship. He has fantastic scholarship, and so I'm sure he's probably right about that. Take the little-known genocide of Christians that has long been going on in Nigeria. Quote, not less than 32,000 Christians have been butchered to death by the country's main jihadists between just 2009 and the first quarter of 2020. According to the most recent report, between January and April of this year alone, 1,470 Christians were hacked to death. On average, this comes out to about 368 Christians killed every month for 4 months straight. Since just 2016, 13,000 churches have been destroyed by Allahu Akbar screaming Muslims. Now remember, it is the white supremacists that are the problem. They're the greatest terror threat. White supremacists. Wouldn't quite feel that way if you were living in Nigeria. Now you'd see something quite different. The very thing that the CW and CNN and the CCP would rather you not understand and realize, because it's all part of the same globalist communist agenda. The full name of Boko Haram, the premier terror group that dominates northern Nigeria, is, quote, Sunnis for Islamic Propagation and Jihad. Boko Haram, their nickname, means Western education is a sin. It doesn't mean we kill because we're poor. I mean, I guess I hadn't seen this, but apparently some in the media have said, we kill because we're poor. I mean, that's what they would love. They would love that to be the name of Boko Haram, because Islamic ideology can have nothing to do with it. It has to be a devastating socioeconomic condition that fuels this type of action, not ideology. Their stated goal is the establishment of a pure Sharia state in Nigeria and the brutal subjugation or slaughter of the nation's Christians. Moreover, the Muslim Fulani herdsmen, who in recent years have terrorized more Christians than even Boko Haram, are acting on jihadi teachings and hate for Christians. Despite all this, the Western mainstream remains committed to describing the jihad in Nigeria and increasingly all throughout sub-Saharan Africa as a byproduct of inequality and poverty. To quote Bill Clinton, when once explaining what is, quote, fueling all this stuff being a reference to the aforementioned genocide of Christians in Nigeria. You know, it's inequality and poverty fueling all this, you know, stuff. Does that remind you of anything? Such as Ilhan Omar, who's been in the news quite recently and in the past because of anti-Semitic comments basically saying that Jewish members of Congress are not partners for justice. Oh my. This lady, she is something else, man. Could you imagine if a Republican congressperson had said that? Could you imagine? But do you remember when she said on 9/11, like, some people did some things? Remember that? Does that sound vaguely familiar with Bill Clinton's, fueling all this stuff, murder, rape, torture, brutality, all that, all this stuff? Or in the words of Barack Obama's Assistant Secretary of State for African Affairs, Johnny Carson, J-O-H-N-N-I-E, speaking after the bombing of a church that left nearly 40 Christian worshipers dead on Easter Sunday 2012, one of countless churches to be burned or bombed before and since that Easter, quote, I want to take this opportunity to stress one key point, and that is that religion is not driving extremist violence. It is ignorance at absolute best. It is gross negligent ignorance at absolute best. But there's no way she truly believes that. It is all part, it's a psyop. I go back to what I was talking about in the beginning. We are living in a psyop, and we've really been probably living in a PSYOP since 2001, since 9/11. Because the PSYOP really first manifested itself in how the West responded to Islam and the inability of anybody to be able to criticize Islam. Even if it wasn't illegal here in the U.S., it became very faux pas, became very taboo to talk about Islam for what it was. Religion is not driving extremist violence in Nigeria. Uh-huh. But as the Nigerian nun, Sister Monica Chikwi, once observed, quote, "It's tough to tell Nigerian Christians this isn't a religious conflict, since what they see are Fulani fighters clad entirely in black chanting Allahu Akbar and screaming death to Christians." Remember, Superman needs to protect people, protect Muslims from the white supremacists. Superman does not need to protect Christians from the Islamic jihadists. Superman does not need to stroll over, to fly over in 5 seconds to Nigeria to protect Christians from the attacks of Islamists. No. White people can't handle Muslims in their cities. And so that's who Superman needs to protect. Superman is apparently oblivious. He has no idea. He can travel around the world, basically at the speed of light. He can hear anything everywhere, but he never hears and he never sees Christians being tortured and murdered and raped and executed in other countries. Why? Because Superman can't see it. He's not allowed to see it. He's not allowed to be their hero. There's more on this, and this article is up at cgm.news. And while Superman cannot be our hero, we know who is, right? We know who came 2,000 years ago to be our true hero, to live amongst us, to be our example, to die, take our sin upon himself, and then to be raised from the grave 3 days later. And that, of course, is Jesus Christ. Superman, of course, based off of the pagan god Apollo. Jesus Christ, a manifestation of the true God, Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, whom Gentiles can now be grafted into the great tree of Abraham to those who put their faith and their trust in him. Superman is a failure. Superman will fail you. God never will. The Democrat Party, the DNCCP, will fail us and will do everything they can to make us a vassal state of China. But Aslan is on the move, and I'm fixing my eyes on him, and I'm trusting him, putting my faith in him. And I hope you guys do as well. All right, that'll do it for this week's episode of World News Brief, cgm.news, cgm.news, all day for latest breaking news. Email me, world@cgmradio.com. Would love to hear from you. And make sure to subscribe to the podcast if you have not already. And leave us a 5-star review. Just type in World News Brief, CGM, in your favorite podcasting app, and that will get you there. God bless. Love you guys. May his kingdom come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven.